That's good. We've got quite a lot of people awake this morning. Excellent. I don't like being up here on my own. I like lots of volunteers. Now, Helen didn't have a lot of success with volunteers, so I'm going to try a different tactic. Can I have some volunteers to come and sit just in the front seats? And I would guess volunteers I would like to be maybe sort of under 13, 14-year-old. If you're under 13 and 14-year-old, come and sit in the front. Now, I've got a different tactic from Helen to use. Aston, are you coming down to help me as well? Come and sit in the front with the others. Come on. I'll show you something that I have to help. Look, if anyone else needs help for volunteering, I have some sweeties. No? Anyone else want to come? Oh. Whoa. Yeah. They are there, and you will get some. We'll just check if you can get them at the end, sorry. So, who was here last week when Matt spoke? Okay, right, arms down. Now, this is a test. Who can remember what Matt spoke about last week? Well done. Now, I know your name. You know my name's Elsie. But I'm not that great at names, and sometimes I forget names. So to make it simple this morning, boys, you three are going to be Hamish. Hamish 1, 2, and 3, okay? So I won't forget your names. Girls, you're going to be Heather, another Scottish name. So you're all Heather, and you're all Hamish, so I'm never going to get your names wrong. Because, you know, it's really important to me, because it's really important when you remember names. It means you feel welcome. But I'm not that great at names. I'm getting there. I'm still not totally there. So we've got Hamish over here, and we've got Heather here. So I'm not going to get that wrong. So, Heather in the pink dress. Come, Heather in the pink dress. Come and help me remind everyone what we were talking about. So last week, I'll ask you some questions, see what you can remember. So who was the person that ran away from God last week?
Jonah.
Okay, so where did Jonah, where was he supposed to go? Can you remember where God wanted him to go?
That way.
That way. Good answer. Whoa. Okay, and what way did Jonah go?
That way.
Exactly. That's right. That's really important. God told Jonah to go that way, and Jonah went that way. Perfect answer. So when he was going that way, did he go on a camel?
No.
Did he go on a donkey?
No.
What did he go on?
He just walked.
He just walked that way. And what did he get on when he walked that way?
A ship.
A ship. Okay. So Jonah went on a ship. And God's got a way that always catches their attention. When God tells us to go that way, and we're going that way, somehow God amazingly always brings us up a bit short and says, actually, I want to remind you, you're going the wrong way. What great reminder did he send Jonah? What happened to the ship?
It got caught in a storm, and then the captain threw Jonah overboard.
Well done. Okay, that deserves, I don't know if you can have these sweeties. Can we check? Excuse me, they're my special sweeties. What can't you like about sweets? We'll sort them out, we'll check it out with your mum, and if not, then you'll get a something after. Sorry, Heather, almost used the right name there. That would be wrong to use the right name, if that makes sense. Okay, so Jonah was supposed to go that way, and he went that way. And he went in a ship. There was a huge storm blew up. And then Jonah said to the sailors, I'm responsible for this, throw me overboard. And the sailors threw Jonah overboard. And immediately, the storm stopped. And the sailors recognized God, that Jonah's God was the true God, and they worshipped him. So even though Jonah was disobeying God, God somehow turned it to good. and used that. When Jonah was thrown overboard, God, as part of his rescue operation for Jonah, sent a superfish. And we've got a picture of a superfish. Maybe it didn't look quite like this. Maybe not exactly like that. We don't know what the fish, what type of fish it was. But do you know, where do you go to meet the best fish? Do you know?
Harry Ramsden's?
I think the fish there are a bit dead. But do you not know where you go to meet the best fish? Any place will do. Any place will do to meet the best fish. And really, Jonah was thrown overboard, and any place would do, because what did God do? He sent the fish. He sent a fish to the exact spot that Jonah was being thrown overboard. So we're going to look at that chapter 2, and we're going to think about a few things that we can learn from that. There's so much in that. Sorry, if still struggling from my throat, funny throat from last week. So if my voice goes funny, apologies. We're going to learn a couple of things, not everything that's contained in chapter 2, but we're going to think of a few specific things. And the first thing we're going to think about is God being in control. So you think, superfish there swallowed Jonah, and he was inside the fish. There was no way out. There was nothing he could do to get out of the mess that he was in. He was completely weak and helpless. Now, children, this is going to be a real test of your thing. Quite a few weeks ago, Gillian spoke, and she gave out little frogs. Can anyone remember what the frog stood for? Right, Hamish and the football strip thing. Come and help me. I'll open my chocolate lid. So you've got it. Right, so that gives you more thinking time if you're not 100% certain. Oh, what a shame, I can't open them. Right, the other Hamish, can you come and open the sweeties while we're here? That's a task for you, and you can have one as well. What does frog stand for?
Fully reliant on God.
Perfect. Whoa, that deserves a clap and a sweet. You can choose whichever one you want, both of you. Well done, Hamish. Fully reliant on God. Jonah was fully reliant on God when he was in that situation. God had provided the fish. He'd put that fish in the right place at the right time, and God preserved Jonah inside the fish. All the hard work was done by God. All Jonah had to do was to trust him and to hold on tight. Have you ever thought what like it would be inside that fish? Does a fish swim like that? It swims like that. It would be like a mega roller coaster ride, wouldn't it, being inside that fish? And it wouldn't be that nice either. It'd be seaweed and things. But actually, it would be a bit smelly. But God provided that way out for Jonah. In the New Testament, Paul wrote some words to the Corinthians about what he'd learned about feeling weak and powerless to change things. Now, can I have some volunteer to read a verse of scripture for me, which Hamish or Heather was going to... Right, Heather, come and help me. So, if you could read out that for me, please.
Because of the extravagance of the relations, and so I won't get a big head, I was given the gift of a head cap to keep me in constant touch with my limitations. Satan's angel did his best to get me down. What, in fact, he did was push me to my knees. No danger of them walking in high around high and mighty. At first, I didn't think of it as a gift and begged God to remove it. 3 times I did that, then he told me, "My grace is enough, it's all you need. My strength comes into its own, your weakness."
Once I heard that, I was glad to let it happen. I quit focusing on the handicap and began
appreciating
the gift. It was a case of Christ's strength moving on my weakness. Now I take the limitations in strides, and with good cheer, these limitations that cut me down to the size, a bus, accidents, opposions, bad breaks, I just let Christ take over, and the weaker I get, the stronger I become.
Thank you very much. Okay, have one of this chocolate fish. Powerful words, aren't they? My strength comes into its own in your weakness. And then the verse, I quit focusing on the handicap. That was a turning point. And began appreciating the gift. The gift that was sent to Jonah was the fish. It wasn't a handicap. It might have been a bit smelly. It might have been a bit difficult. It might have been a bit like a roller coaster. But life's often like a roller coaster. But actually, it was God's provision. It was a gift. We can learn from this that God is in control, even in the darkest times. Bad things may happen in our life. Sometimes it's because we're being disobedient. But sometimes, like Paul's situation, God's using these things that happen to us to make us stronger so that we can fully rely on God. So don't mistake God's provision as God's punishment. Inside the fish, it was cramped and uncomfortable. Now, has anyone here ever had a broken arm or leg? No. None of the children had a broken arm or leg. Ah. Celia, did you have a broken arm and leg?
Yes.
Oh. And what did you need to get to fix that? It needed to get plastered, a plaster put on it. Do you know what Scottish people call it?
A stookie.
A stookie. I have no idea why we call it a stookie, but when you've got a broken bone, you need to get a plaster put on it. And that plaster stops it moving around, doesn't it? It's while that's on, and it might be uncomfortable. Was it a bit itchy inside?
Yeah.
And especially, I'm sure if it was in the hot weather, it would have got quite itchy. And I've never had a broken bone and had to have a stookie on it. But I know people who have, and I know that they have often had knitting needles and they're trying to get down there to give it a good scratch. But actually, even though it's painful, even though it's uncomfortable, that plaster actually brings about healing. That restriction brings about healing. And that brokenness is only for a season. It's not your destiny. You would never know that Celia has had any broken bones because she's fully functioning. And that's how God is. God wants to heal us and restore us. So while Jonah was contained, it was a bit like a plaster cast. He couldn't get out. But God was healing and restoring him at that time. So whether we're in a dark or difficult place at the moment, and whether it's because of God's discipline or his discipleship, we need, like Jonah and Paul, to turn to God in prayer. And we can learn quite a lot of things from that prayer of Jonah. Jonah tried to run away from God, and now he runs back to God in prayer. And you know what surprised me? It wasn't a, help, I'm a sinner, get me out of here, type prayer. It was a prayer of thanksgiving and praise, praising God for saving him. Now, I've got to be honest. If I were Jonah, and if by any remote possibility I thought God was going to save me in that situation when the sailors threw me overboard, I suspect that as I was going down, I would be looking out for a rubber ring somewhere, or maybe a raft somewhere. Or maybe in the distance, another ship that was going to come in. I would never in my wildest imagination expect a fish to be there with a big open mouth. Let's face it, our ways are not God's ways. God's ways are beyond our imagination, aren't they? Anyone here really, if they fell overboard, would expect a big fish to be there? I don't think so. It's hard sometimes to see things from God's perspective, especially when we're going through a difficult time. What about, you maybe not have had any breaks, but anyone here had to wear a brace in their teeth? No? Anyone in the congregation? Yeah, okay. Have you still got one in? Right. Can I embarrass you and get you to come up here? I know you're slightly over the age group. So how long have you had it in your mouth?
19 months.
Wow, that's a long time. And is it quite painful?
Yeah, I got it replaced the other day and it's actually really hurting right now. So.
Right. And when you got it in at first, did you find it embarrassing?
Yeah, a little bit.
And did any of your friends make any comments about it?
Yes.
And were they positive, saying, wow, you look great with your brace in?
Sometimes, yeah.
And was it more likely to be a, ooh, what's that in your mouth type comment? Yeah, yeah. But it's a long, how long have you to keep it in for?
They said it was going to be off after 18 months, so who knows?
Right, okay. But it's painful. What do you hope is going to be the outcome after it?
Nice straight teeth.
Exactly. So do you think it's going to be worth all the pain?
Yes.
Excellent. Thank you, Heather. Yeah, braces, I've not had one, but my friend had one and she used to be in agony. It was rubbing her gums. And some of the people weren't very kind to her and made fun of her because she had a funny, she talked a little bit funny. I've only known you with a brace in, so you sound perfectly normal to me. But then when I say that I'm normal, really comparing myself with other people, what is normal? But if you persevere, and if you've got other people around encouraging you, like I'm sure your parents are encouraging you when it gets uncomfortable, to just keep it in, persevere, keep going with it. When you look in the mirror, when that brace is removed, and you've got a mouth full of lovely straight teeth, you'll realise all that pain and suffering's worth it. And that's a bit like us being disciples of God. Sometimes it can be painful when God tries to straighten us out and put right what's gone wrong. We all get things wrong. We all upset people. And we do things that have bad consequences or outcomes for ourselves or for others. But God really wants to shape us into the person he wants to be. And at times that can be painful. Another thing we can learn about that prayer of Jonah's is it's a prophetic prayer. It talks about how it's going to be in the future, that something that's not quite happened. Jonah is still in the fish, but he prays that prayer of faith, thanking God for his deliverance. He's no idea that in 3 days' time, a fish is going to vomit him out. But he was confident that God was in control. So that's a funny word, isn't it? I always feel wrong using the word vomit in church. Doesn't somehow sit right, does it? Strange word to use. But if you're in a difficult place, remember, God is in control. Maybe you can't see your way out of a situation. Maybe you're praying and praying and you're trying to work it out for yourself. Maybe you've not even prayed about it. Maybe you're trying to work things out for yourself. And then when you can't think of anything else you can do, then you turn to God in prayer. We're all different. But remember, God is in control. The prophet Isaiah had some words to help us understand that God's ways are greater than we can ever imagine. So I need another reader. Anyone else willing to read? I'll have another Heather in the white cardigan. Okay. Can you read out these verses for me?
Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts.
Let them turn to God, and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he freely pardons. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts.
Thank you very much, Heather. Have a sweetie. God's ways are different from our ways. A few weeks ago, Dave Burton referred to Romans 8, verse 28. And he said, that verse said, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." And Dave reminded us, never doubt in the darkness what we know is true in the light. Well, Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days. And that certainly was a dark place. And we don't know all that went on at that time, but we do know that God protected, God provided, and proved his faithfulness to Jonah. So whatever situation you're going through, just remember God is there. He will protect, he will provide, and he will prove his faithfulness to you. God could simply have let Jonah die, but instead he saved him in a miraculous way. Jonah had come to a place where he could recognise God's hand at work, even though he was still in a mess. And it took time to come to recognise that God was with him in the darkness and remember what he knew about God. So how should we pray? When you're alone, when you're scared, when you just don't know the way out and you just don't know what to say to God, the words that Jonah used were very similar to words found in the book of Psalms. The Psalms were a prayer book of the Jewish people, and Jonah would have prayed and sang the Psalms from an early age. And when you are in the belly of the fish, you don't have a lot of mental energy to make up your own prayers, so you go with what you know. And that's just a couple of examples. So Jonah 2 is very much like Psalm 30 verse 3, and there's lots of parallels between it, and we can give you a list of all of these if you want to study them in your own time. Sometimes it can be really difficult to find the right words to use when you're in that dark place, and often we turn to scripture. I've got a verse that I use a lot when I'm really struggling, and it's Proverbs 3 verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not in your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. And that's one when I'm just struggling, thinking, God, I don't know why I'm in this situation. I don't know where to go. And that's words that I use. Now, at the start of the service, we had a song playing, and it had lots of different languages. Now, this is a test of your observation skills. Can anyone remember any of the languages it was in? Right, come and line up. If you can remember a language it was in, come and line up. And what you need to do is you line up this way. You say the language, you get your seat, and you go down the other way and back to your seats. Okay, what language?
Russian.
Russian, okay. Up, get. Oh, no, you don't want your seat.
Portuguese.
Okay.
English.
Good. Oh, Hamish.
Arabic.
Arabic, okay. Anyone else?
Hebrew.
Well done. Anyone else remember? Whisper to the girl next. Whisper to Heather next to you so she can tell.
Spanish.
Good. Okay. Anyone else remember a language? What about adults? Wave to me if you can remember another language that was in the thing. Okay. Who's not had a sweetie yet? Has everyone had a sweetie? Oh, do you want to come and get a sweetie? What other language? Yeah, tell Heather. Excuse me, Heather, thank you. Oh, come Hamish, we've got a new Hamish.
Creole.
Well done, okay.
Sign language?
Sign language, perfect, well spotted. Heather, adult Heather. There was lots of different languages. And when we sing praise to God, and when we pray to God, it's good to do it in our first language, the tongue that we're most familiar with. Now, I've told you what my favourite verse is. Have we got any brave adults or children whose language, first language, isn't English, but would be willing to come and say a Bible verse in their own first tongue? Wave to me if you can. A verse that you're familiar with. Well done. Aha. Thank you, adult Heather.
Okay. Der Herr ist mein Hirte, mir wird nichts mangeln. Er weidet mich auf grüne Aue und führt mich zum frischen Wasser. That was the first verses from Psalm 23.
Lovely. Thank you very much. Anyone else? Are you happy to come, or would you like one of my Heathers or Hamish's to run with the microphone? But it's good for you to see. If there's other people, please just make your way down, because it would be great to have a few different languages represented.
Mkama yumsumba wange seta genga, angala mzamu tunduri omudumto. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be want. He makes me walk in still waters.
Okay, and what language?
That's in Luganda, from Uganda.
Brilliant, thank you so much. Okay. Excellent.
French.
And wonderful. Any, I just want to hear as many languages spoken out in this church.
Okay, it's John 3:16. Car Dieu a tant aimé le monde qu'il a donné son Fils unique, afin que quiconque croit en lui ne périsse pas, mais qu'il ait la vie éternelle. For God loves the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him may not perish but have eternal life.
Thank you so much. Any other languages that we would like to have? Thank you for all those who took part there. It doesn't matter what words we use. It doesn't matter what language we use. God hears and answers prayer. Jonah teaches us that no matter where we find ourselves, we can pray anytime, any place, with any language and anywhere, because we've got a loving God who cares for us and is in control. Jonah's time inside the fish gave him an opportunity to pause and to reconsider the direction of his life and priorities. It was a bit like a time out. Anyone here ever been given a time out by their parents? Okay, okay, lots of children. Actually, I think my granddaughter spends more time in the naughty step with timeouts than she does actually doing anything else. It seems to be her poem, and she'll actually take herself off there as well for timeout. She'll say, oh, I need a timeout because she's done something naughty, and she's only 2.5. I don't know where she gets it from. But sometimes I think God needs to give us a timeout, a time to stop and reflect and consider the direction of our life. Are we going in God's direction? What are our priorities? The verse that we had from 2 Corinthians, my grace is enough, it's all you need. My strength comes into its own in your weakness. I used the Message version because I thought it just, the words were real and it's language that we understand. I want to ask, if you're feeling weak, can you still say with confidence, I quit focusing on the handicap? Handicap could be a problem. And begin appreciating the gift. The gift is seeing things from God's perspective and seeing God's provision in it. Christ's strength can move in our weakness. Now, I need lots of helpers here, because as the adults are thinking about their own situation, what I've got here is lots of fish shapes. And I'd like the adults and children as well, in response to what we've heard, We've got this wonderful phrase here that Heather Christine, whatever, has created for us, even though she's in holiday at the moment. And this is week two, this one. And I would like us, if there's situations either in our own life or in the life of those that we're close to or know of people, that we actually feel that God, they need to know, or I need to know that God is in control, what I'd like you to do is come, take one of these little fish shapes, write your name on it. We don't need to know the situation because God knows everything about us. Just write your name on there, or the name of the person that you really want us to pray for on the little fish, and then stick it on this board here, anywhere at all. So I need lots of Hamishes. So if these two Hamishes can help me for that. And then I need a couple of Heathers to help me hold the pens. Okay, the first two. There's lots of things to do. And then we need some glue sticks. So I need another Heather to hold the glue sticks. And then I need two more Heathers, because when we're finished with the things, I need only one to hold that, to put things. And then I need another one, because some of the adults might need a bit of encouragement as well. So if you hold the sweetie tub as well, and everyone can get that. So if you, as we're singing the next song, so if we can have first off the, let's have the fish here. Thanks, Hamish. Then the pens here, glue stick there, and then if round the corner, round here, if we can have the tub to collect the spare bits, and then those, we've got a system going. So as we're singing the song, please come and write your name on it, stick things on. And as you're doing it, pray for the person. And then we're just going to have a prayer at the end where John can just pray for all those names that are on the board, that God will hear and meet their needs. Thanks, John.